Hey everybody, welcome to Even More News, the first and the only news podcast, according to the first and only news podcast. My name is Cody Johnston, and Katie Stoll is not here with us today for a personal day she is taking, and with us, sometimes, including now, are the names of... Now you go.
We go now. Dave, we go now.
I'm Dave.
No, your name's not Dave. No, your name's Dave, not Dave.
I'm Dave.
I'm saying we
You're
go
Katie.
Now.
Katie.
Okay. I am Katie. That's right. That's me, Katie. And that's
we
Dave.
Did it.
We
it's
did
the best
it.
You get in.
We, well, I mean, we quote did
oh, I should
it. We
clarify.
Did
I'm Katie, the yes. other Katie.
The other Katie. Katie Golden. Katie with an IE instead of a Y.
Learn it, people. Jeez.
Am I allowed to tell people that? Yeah, okay. You're not trying to hide.
No.
I also
like
that
for, I've okay, got okay, nothing okay. to
I also
hide.
Have a last
no.
name.
Anyway, David Christopher Hell is here with us. Everybody, I think it's time to wish everybody listening and everybody, me, a happy National Kindness Day, you stupid fucks. It's also Friday the 13th. Oh, is that scary for you? Well, good, because you deserve it, all of you. But happy National Kindness Day.
I'm more Everybody? Into Friday the 13th.
Be kind.
I want to watch.
I wish you all...
Be kind, rewind.
Sure. Yeah. I'm curious how many listeners even know.
I don't actually know what it is either. I just know the words.
Wait, what is it? Be kind, rewind? You
Be
don't
kind,
know what
rewind?
That means?
From
Be
something.
Kind, rewind.
No, I don't know. I just parrot things back. I don't think about
this
them.
Is a troll. This is a troll.
It's from VHS tapes.
And a Michelle Gondry movie.
It's
a Michelle Gondry movie.
We can't. I can't.
What's a VHS, you guys?
I can't.
I'm actually the same age, but I like to do this. It's fun.
The Department of Video Housing and Safety. Be kind.
Friday 13th, that's cool. Be nice to a black cat day,
or
as I like
watch,
to call it.
Watch a Friday the 13th movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Put on a hockey mask and surprise people.
Yeah.
Day.
Do a
spook people. Yeah.
A good heart. A good hearted.
Yeah. Do a
spook.
Weird dance like Crispin Glover does in. I think it's the fourth one. I don't know. Crispin Glover's in one of them.
Is it like his kick dance when he was on Letterman and he started kicking around?
The story goes, because if you watch the dance, you're like, okay, it's just more proof that he's an alien. He's young in it, too. This is the thing. It's Crispin Glover early in his career, and a time in someone's career where they're like, I need the work. And there's a scene where he has to dance, and he does one of the wildest dances you'd ever see. And it doesn't make, it's an enigma. And then according to like behind the scenes, the song that plays wasn't going to be that song. It was going to be another song. I think it was going to be an AC/DC song. But if someone matched it up to that song and it still doesn't make any sense. So it's just Crispin Glover being Crispin Glover. And then he gets killed with a corkscrew.
Welcome to Glover Watch 2020. All the Glover news.
You've heard his album, right?
That we choose to... News. What?
Crispin Glover Watch 2020 doesn't seem like we haven't done that yet. We've described
it is part,
Friday the 13th part 4. Like we're not doing a very good job at watching him.
I'm saying we should start.
I have no
now,
news
though.
About him in 2020.
He's up to something.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Don't let him get away
record,
with it.
It's Friday the 13th, the final chapter, which was not that. But I think it was in fact the fourth Friday the 13th.
This can't be. This cannot be a Friday the 13th podcast. We can't allow Dave to pull.
Did
us
you guys
in this direction.
Know that Jason Takes Manhattan?
No.
Chronologically, is post 9/11 in the.
We can't let this happen.
Did you know that Crispin Glover will be soon appearing in untitled Crispin Hellion Glover project?
This can't be the news, you guys. We can't let this be the news.
That couldn't be more accurate. We're going to take a short break for this 30-second ad. Speaking of the last however many minutes of talking about various topics and days, nothing. Speaking of nothing, something. And speaking of something, thanks to Feels for supporting Even More News. Feels can have me feeling my best, and it can help you also feeling your best. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. Today, we're going to talk about the news, which is good, that we like. I think it's been a bit of a while since we've had this show, and the president lost. He lost. He's a loser.
This is me surprised to hear this.
I read some candles recently that said otherwise. Scott Baio posted.
I did see that. Trump is still my president. It's very funny and interesting, isn't it, that so long everyone was like, oh, the libs, and they're not my president. Oh, they're, they're doing the exact same thing and without any self-awareness.
What these fellows are talking about is candles in a Michael's craft store that had letters on them arranged such that they spell Trump is still your president, which I guess Scott Baio tweeted, and then Trump retweeted it, which is always, it's fun that our very good still president is tweeting out candles
to be honest,
Michaels.
Yeah, to be honest, like, they're not wrong. And I do think it's kind of important that we remember that for the next couple months. Because when people were like, well, we did it, Biden, I was just like, yeah, but he's like still in there. So I'm not going to be happy until he's not in there. This is the time.
And this is the time, right? This is the time when, like you're worried about, like, okay, if he wins, then the next 4 years, like, what's he going to do? Because he doesn't have to worry about re-election or anything. But now he also doesn't have to worry about re-election because he lost. So he's got a few months of not only being able to just, like, do whatever, probably, maybe, but also he's fueled now by just absolute resentment and failure and spite. Exactly. He lost. He knows he's a loser.
Yeah, he's going to take a shit in the desk drawers, leave him there.
He still hasn't spoken to us
directly
since all this. Like, he had that press conference, I think, the night of or the day after.
Yeah,
but that was it. We're due.
I mean, I think the latest appearance him returning from the golf course to the White House, to the many throngs of protesters who want him gone and were happy about him losing. And he looks sadly on from inside of his limo.
Yeah, there's a lot of news about, like,
as they flip him off. Yeah, that's the one.
And, like, his kids trying to talk him down and stuff. And I don't know how much truth there is to those, because it's always like an anonymous aide or like a friend of a friend. So it's like, I think we like those stories because they're what we're picturing he's doing.
Right. Also, there's nothing wrong with having a little fast food.
That's
after
true.
A loss. You know?
Yeah. I think that's something like, Trump is obviously not normal. He's a fascist. But there are, like, things like the not my president thing. I feel like that's like every goddamn election, right? Is the losing team is just takes it in a really ugly way. And the winning team is like, ha ha.
Right.
And then it's like, you're doing what we did and you're doing what we did. And it's like, in forever and ever until America explodes.
It is kind of.
Yeah.
It is a little bit frustrating. And, you know, I think that the fact that there was so much focus from Democrats on Russia stuff throughout the entire year, whether or not you think it's, like, valid, I think at least that we shouldn't have dedicated every waking minute to it.
Because there
were so many other things that were going on that were fucky that should have been addressed. And so now, you know, Republicans are like, well, but you guys endlessly talked about this thing. And I know they're not comparable. I know, like, the Russia Gate stuff is not comparable to spelling out Trump is still your president and candles at a Michael's. but, like, it's kind of frustrating because it's like, yeah, maybe, like, there should have been less focus on that, more focus on the fact that Trump's ICE was forcefully sterilizing imprisoned women in ICE camps and that kind of thing, you know?
No, we're okay with that, actually.
Oh, okay.
We're okay with that.
I didn't realize that. I didn't get that memo.
Yeah, it's good. It's good now. They changed the portrait on the wall of who the president
is,
so it's more okay now. Yeah.
That is the difference, is like, the right will do the stuff the left did, the outrage. The difference is that Biden, while, you know, sucks, he's not a fascist, so it's just that, where it's like, well, we're going to do the things you're doing. And it's like, yeah, but when we were doing it, it was kind of sort of like a horrible fascist.
And not, yeah, I mean, like, Joe Biden literally out there being like, we have to have unity with everybody, even the people, even you, like, all that kind of stuff. It's like, well, what's the problem other than your daddy leader lost?
Yeah. I mean, it is frustrating because unity, what that usually implies is the center coming to meet the right rather than anyone ever paying any attention at all to the left ever.
Let's talk about that briefly, actually. I had a thing I wanted to share on that topic. We talk about this a lot.
Don't we,
days.
Folks?
Don't we, folks? We love it. Because that, I mean, that's going to be a topic of discussion on this show, on our other shows, everywhere for, until the end of time, because it will never change. We're all, even today, a bunch of articles about how the Lincoln Project did it. You need to, and AOC should thank them.
Right.
Literally, the phrase AOC should thank them
Jesus.
was printed out and published for the world to see today. It's utter nonsense, but I this is a very choice quote I saw today, and this is from the 1990s. The notion that President Clinton took a drubbing in last month's election.
Sorry,
is that a 90s term?
Is this the 90s or is this like the 1910s or something?
It's definitely gone out of vogue, I guess.
Okay.
It's a beating, a thrashing.
Sorry to interrupt. I a drubbing.
A resounding defeat in a match.
Now continue. Yes. Start before drubbing so we can hear it in contents again.
Go drub each other. Go drub yourself. The notion that President Clinton, this is Bill Clinton, the notion that President Clinton took a drubbing in last week's, the notion that President Clinton took a thrashing, end of brackets, in last month's elections because he went, quote, too far to the left has become a mantra among self-styled Democratic centrists. Get with the program or you'll have to pay consequences, in the words of Al Frohm, executive director of the Democratic Leadership Council, and the program, surprise, is to move to the right. Chutzpah counts for something, but this is getting out of hand. Like the old-time Stalinist who saw everything, no matter how contradictory, as further proof of the inevitability of socialism, Mr. Frohm and his crowd interpret all political events as proof of their own wisdom.
It's every time. There's this great
graphic made by Adam Johnson that's like it's basically a flowchart of when you're allowed to criticize mainstream Democrats, and it's basically never, because it's like either before an election, too soon after an election, or like, no, we have to maintain unity while they face off against Republicans. So the answer is never.
You are not allowed to.
Feels different to me now is that the way the right had this hardcore, like the right's version of progressives, the far right, which in my opinion seemed to be really fashy, pretty damn racist.
Mike Lee saying that we're not a democracy sounds fascist to
a little bit, but Trump basically did what we want Democrats to do. He tapped the far right. And it worked. And now these QAnons and racists and Proud Boys.
It did work.
And so what happened is he managed to take the... Because now Republicans are just quietly going along with it because they need that base. And so he pulled them to the right. And Democrats didn't see that as an opportunity of like, oh, maybe we should...
Well, this is... Right. Well, here's why, Dave, is that the right wing, like the far right in general, pandemic aside, pandemic always aside, because that is a little bit of a outlier, but like in general, the far right and business corporate interests align just fine. Like all that aligns, whereas the far left and business interests do not align. So the right wing can cater to the far right without losing too much in terms of their like big business donations. Whereas Democrats, if they cater to the left, they are very worried about losing their big donors because, you know, interestingly, the left does not align with big business donors.
So after this election, America is just going to shift to the right. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's so here's this is probably true. But one thing that's happening this time around that and trust me, I've been so frustrated by the immediate heel turn from centrists and establishment Democrats and right of center people to immediately start instantly start attacking the left. Like they're on that phone call with Nancy Pelosi. They started to, like, this was like a day after the election or something, where they started to attack AOC and Medicare for All and the Green New Deal and Black Lives Matters and defund the police, saying these are things that were bad for the Democrats and is what why Democrats did not do as well down ballot, ignoring the fact, of course, that all of the Democrats that did not do that well down ballot were generally not running on any of those issues, and Democrats who did run on Medicare for All actually did pretty well in general. But regardless of that, the centrist Democrats immediately attacked AOC. AOC responded, defending herself.
How dare she? Disgusting behavior. She is tearing the party apart.
Of course, this is framed as her firing the first shot. Now, the reason it's so easy for them to try to frame this as AOC is suddenly attacking is that the left, in general, very rarely stands up for itself when it comes to the actual politicians representing the actual left. So, but I am so proud of AOC, and I try not to get too excited about any politician because they obviously are always flawed, always let me down in some way, always hurt me in some way. But I am actually genuinely really impressed because I was saying this like right before the election, like if the left does, like the left needs to immediately stand up for itself as soon as centrists start like blaming us for centrist losses in the election. So she did. And the whole squad has been doing that. And there, she like did an interview. And this is the power of actually having a politician who's on the left, is she got a full interview in the New York Times, something us, you know, very online leftists on Twitter would never get. Like, she, you know, she actually gets attention for this. And she is defending the left, saying like, no, look, like these are winning issues. Medicare for All has been consistently a winning issue. You know, things like in Florida that went red for Trump, the $15 minimum wage one. So actual leftist ideas are doing much better than even like centrist Democrats are doing. So, I think that I've never seen the left fight back this hard. Yeah. And, you know, I guess I'm sort of a spring chicken. I don't know. Maybe it has been outside of my lifespan. But like, this is the first time in my lifespan that I've seen the left fight back against this rhetoric so much. So that gives me some hope, you know, some hopium.
Also, I feel, I don't know, I'm sure you've touched upon this many times. It should be noted, I think discussions of centrists in this country, they're not really centrists. Like the center, isn't. So like, I feel like I've heard a few people who identify as centrist being upset, but it's like other countries have universal health care. That's not a leftist thing.
Almost every
Democrats
other,
are kind of more the center.
The Overton window. Yeah, the Overton window, which represents the full spectrum of politics, has moved way far right. So. Yeah.
It slowly shifted, you know, even under Obama. Like, you capitulate and capitulate, and then it slowly shifts over there.
Right.
And then you get a Trump, and it, like, jerks over there. And then you have the Pelosis and the Schumers who capitulate
even
further.
On principle, it's not even capitulation. On principle, Pelosi and Schumer Democrats are right-wing on a lot of issues, such as the deficit. Like, we can't afford to do anything like COVID relief or Medicare for All because the deficit, which is just always used as an excuse, even though we have such immense military spending that we never question. But hey, it's got to be all these people who need food during a pandemic. Those people are the problem.
It just angers me so much when people are like, why are they mad at centrists? And it's like, because they're not centrists. Because we have to start calling them something else.
Because they're not.
Also centrists.
Yeah.
Well, they're polite Republicans. That's what
they are.
Also,
centrism is a political ideology. It's not neutral. It's not like a gear shift where, you know, the middle is neutral. Actually, I don't know how gear shifts work. Sorry.
No, you did.
But
you nailed it.
It's not the neutral position. It is a political position. Yeah. It's like being a centrist or a quote unquote moderate. I hate the term moderate because it's just, it makes it sound like, oh, I'm just neutral. No, that is a political position. You don't really get to opt out of politics, unfortunately, because politics is just how we live in a society. We live in a society, bottom text.
Okay. Right.
Unless you literally live on Mars and, like, I don't know, Musk, Bezos's caste system on Mars or however it's going to work.
Literally,
every sort of decision you make in a society is part of politics because blah, blah, blah. Politics is society.
Especially
how
now.
We function. Especially now. I mean, you can see how incredibly, like, political decisions have basically have us living in quarantine for the next, year, couple of years. Like, so yeah, it's, I think people understand that, but like, it's, when you're a centrist, you have political positions like, that are things like, you know, we want to, I guess, not raise taxes. We want to, not have any progressive policy. But hey, maybe we let gays marry. I don't know.
As long
maybe
as it's
not.
Not
and we don't want to rock the boat. As long as it's not inconvenient.
Yeah, if the wind
right.
is blowing
so
that way.
And like,
then, yeah.
we do want to have wars in other countries, but we don't want to like be all super overtly racist about it in how we talk about it, not in terms of our actions. Like, then it's okay to.
And we can bomb
weddings
and
funerals in Afghanistan, but like let's just not like celebrate it afterwards, I guess. So, you know.
No. We'll be cool. We'll be sad about it. We'll be cool
right. we'll
and
be
sad
like,
about
oh,
it.
No, we bombed
it'll
some
be,
more innocent civilians.
It'll be Michael Douglas Oops. And the American president when he has to bomb a building and he mourns the janitor that he's going to kill that night because it's Aaron Sorkin.
God.
Oh, it's Aaron Sorkin, of course.
Classic
Sorkin. I've been reading. Have you guys been reading Brianna Joy's Sorkin
no.
Thread? The she's watching The West
Wing.
It's so good.
It's the only
it's
way I can
so
watch The
good.
West Wing.
I didn't realize this. Now, I haven't watched The West Wing because, you know, it's The West Wing. But, like, there's apparently this episode where this little boy from North Korea comes to the U.S. to play the piano at the behest of, I guess it was Kim Jong-il at the time. And it was like, and then they were doing, like, a nuclear arms treaty with North Korea, and this little boy is like, oh, he plays such good piano. And then the boy passes a note to some presidential aide who's like, I want to defect because, you know, North Korea sucks. And then they're wrecked with this moral decision about, well, do we let the little boy defect to the U.S.? Because that would scuttle our nuclear arms deal. And, conundrum. The president's solution to it was making the little boy decide. He was like, hey, little boy, we will let you defect to the U.S., but guess what? If you do that, oops, we won't have a nuclear arms treaty and the world could die. And the little boy's like, oh, God, well, I don't want that to happen. I guess I'll go back and probably get killed or something. And then like, there's literally a line in it, which is like, freedom is the freedom to choose.
Oh, that's so good.
Ah!
Oh, I love it. Oh, my God.
It's pure Sorkin.
That is it.
But
that's pure. Oh,
but just, yeah, basically centrism is getting to make crappy decisions that hurt people while pretending like you aren't making those decisions, which I think is like Sorkin's whole thing.
Classic
we
Sorkin.
Love Sorkin.
We love him. It's all that stuff. It's like the stuff that the Republicans do and stuff that Democrats do. That's
it's the same. But again, it's this weird line to walk because it's true. It's all the same, but we can't let people get lazy with that idea. It's the douche and turd thing where it's like, like it's what we're saying. Biden will, in fact, continue a lot of the bullshit that Trump did, that a lot of the bullshit that Obama did and so on and so forth. But it's just Trump is
harm reduction.
It's poison and shit.
It's harm reduction. Like here's a huge bucket of shit, or you could have like, you know, a few cups of shit. And it's like, well, yeah, you're gonna choose less of it.
There's a Senator Joe Manchin tweet from either he's great. We love him, folks, don't we? from yesterday. He's talking about defund the police, sure. And it's the defund my butt tweet. But one thing that I think is very illustrative of this general situation in Democrats in general, two sentences from that tweet are, "We want to protect Americans' jobs and health care. We do not have some crazy socialist agenda, and we do not believe in defunding the police." It's the perfect example of Democrats who they frame themselves as being the defenders from bad things,
yeah.
But they will not offer good things. They can't do the other part. They just have to be like, we're the shield. We're the shield against the bad guys. But if we do that, we're not going to suddenly get out like, I don't want to say a gun because that means like you're going to kill somebody. Ignore the metaphor. But you know my point. It's like they can't actually offer good
police reform
things,
is something that
return.
Other countries just do.
Yeah.
When they need to. Not all of them are good.
Yeah.
You know?
It's also just the framing of things that are not radical at all as being radical. Like, you know, and I consider myself pretty radical to the left, but like healthcare and
bodacious,
tubular, gnarly, all of those things. But like healthcare for all is not radical at all. Medicare, for, you know, it's government, not. Universal government healthcare, not radical. Defunding the police where you reappropriate funds to other groups like social workers, that's not radical. Like those are just sort of normal things a lot of countries do.
If we're talking about like the compass, the political compass of the entire world, you know, like that's, I guess that's what we're talking about, right? Is relative to the world.
Right.
It's incredibly not radical. We're the only country.
Right. Like I feel like a radical thing is... Yeah. Abolishing all hierarchies, that's fairly radical. Yeah.
That's pretty
radical.
But like,
we're not
anywhere
near
like,
that.
Yeah.
Right.
None of this stuff. And I think that I think will change over time and over a short period of time. Kind of, Katie, what you're talking about with your hopium that you're just like, you're huffing that.
Mainlining it.
And I'm not saying like Bernie Sanders is the only one that's ever said healthcare is a human right, but he said it for many years out loud. And then everybody else was like, oh yeah. Let's and more and more people are saying it. and he literally inspired AOC to run. That's why she ran.
It skipped
a few generations apparently. But like AOC is like, and the whole squad, everything that doesn't really exist. It didn't really exist before. There's not it feels good to finally be somewhat represented
and I think AOC,
in Congress by people
and
who
I think
will
AOC
fight for
may
it.
Be an even better politician than Bernie. Like she seems to have more savvy than he does, which is great. You know, I Bernie was great, and like I think the fact that AOC seems to have a lot of wherewithal in terms of politics, which is, I know it's like, ugh, you don't want to have, like, being a politician, it sucks and it's boring and lame, but like, you know, she has this understanding, like, you don't, to be a good politician, that doesn't mean constant capitulation. It means branding, which again sounds stupid and barfy, but it really does matter a lot. Like again, AOC, unlike a bunch of us, like, you know, yammering leftists on Twitter, she gets like this whole interview in the New York Times that everyone reads where she's defending the leftist position, which is great. Very rare.
She went on Among Us. She identified
did.
Like, you know who?
Yeah.
Like I don't need to go on fucking like Leno or whatever. I guess Fallon.
Right.
That's not where you actually get people. You go and you talk. You get a bunch of like streamers who are extremely popular in this circle that most boomers just don't even know exist.
Although Pokemon Go to the polls was pretty good, you must admit.
Yeah.
I will not admit that, but what I will admit is that it's time to take a short ad break. We'll be right back to talk about the coup, everybody. There's a soft, really dumb, bad, ineffective coup going on.
Okay, hold on there one gosh darn second before you go back to the episode, because now, right now, is the time to ask if you experience stress or have anxiety or trouble sleeping or other stuff that a lot of people are likely feeling right now. If so, then might I suggest trying Feels, a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep? Yes, I might. I might indeed. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness that's exacerbated by gestures to everything happening all the time. Just place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. The right dose depends on you, so drink the whole bottle if you want, but actually really, please don't do that. It sounds like way too much. Feels can have me feeling my best. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/morenews to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feals.com/morenews.
And we've returned.
I put that product was in my hair and eyes. And I feel great.
I ate it.
Okay.
Dave ate it.
That's fine print. Maybe don't do that. But, you know, okay.
It's inside of me.
All right. Well, you'll be fine. Donald Trump, as we've discussed briefly, lost because he's a loser.
Everyone knows
even when
this.
He won in 2016, he's still a loser. Everybody knows this. Many people are saying it. Only the best people are saying he's a real loser. and he's not happy about it. To the point where he has yet to say that
he's
lost.
He's never going to.
He will never say that he lost. And we knew that ahead of time. We knew that going in.
Yeah. So we did know that, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. No confusion there. No surprises. So he's been... It's hard to even call it a coup because it's just these like really, really just like soft lawsuits that aren't doing anything. It's there's no evidence.
Can we call this section the coup bloopers?
Coup bloopers.
Well, not every
the coopsie goofs.
That's a good one.
It's not. It's just not gonna happen, Mr. President. And like it's becoming clear that it's not like he doesn't even think that they're going to work. They don't have this evidence. He's collecting money to pay off for the campaign.
Like he'll send out an email like we gotta save the vote, or I don't know how. I think it's even dumber than that. It's like, you know, the Trump Defense Fund, and it's all just going to his super PAC.
Is he using the White House at all towards these lawsuits? He's not using the DOJ, is he? Because it's not like. It would just illegal thing, but he's also specifically
he's constantly
going after the states that would turn it around for him, being like there's election fraud. It's like if you actually you can't be more transparent than this. It's just it's so Trumpian where it's that thing where like again he talks about East Coast elites and these big city people and then. He has like a team of lawyers. He's like the villain in a movie where he's like, I'm going to sue you. Like he's such a whiny little East Coast elite who lost an election. Right. And he's now like, I'll see you in court. Yes. and it's just like, Jesus.
Yeah. Do you know like,
from my golden
my
tower
is a lawyer. Petty
can you get? Of course, he just is like throwing these shitty lawsuits into the situation.
And I don't think the lawsuits are going to work. It's actually kind of funny how badly the lawsuits are doing. There was the famous one in, I think it was Georgia, where attorneys for Trump wanted the judge to issue an emergency order to stop the count, saying that all Republican observers had been barred. And the judge kept questioning the Trump attorneys, like, wait, so no one was in there? And they kept dodging it. And they're like, so no one was in there. And they said, well, we had a non-zero number of people in the room. And then the judge like audibly sighed and was like, okay, so you have observers in there. I'm sorry, then what's your problem? Which is a literal quote from him. He said, I'm sorry, then what's your problem?
It's beautiful.
And throughout the case.
It's beautiful. It's so
So I don't think they have a lawsuit.
They have nothing. It's artful. We'll get to a couple more because every single moment from court for me is art.
I do want to I think it's important to say on the top. I don't think people who are afraid of a coup are being silly or irrational. I think I would rather people be afraid of a coup than just say oh, there's no way it could ever happen. Because while it does, in my opinion, I don't think the Trump administration is organized to pull off a coup at this scale. That's my opinion. However, I think it would be silly to say like, oh, it could never happen, because, you know, that's not true. It could. Yes. There could be something crazy that happens. I mean, we've seen. Sorry, you guys.
Yeah, he became the president.
I know you guys don't like to say crazy. There's something. There's something outrageous that could happen. It's Trump. We've seen it before. I think it's so. Like, I think it's healthier as a democracy to be concerned about the prospect of a coup than to assume it would never happen. So I don't think people's concerns are silly. I think they're the fact that they're openly talking about doing coup stuff is very scary. I just think that the opportunity for them to do it has kind of passed in some ways. Like, if they had somehow, like, they didn't manage to, as these counts were going on, to like stop the count from happening by having groups of angry MAGAs go and raid the counting places, because they just weren't organized. And this election wasn't that close. It was too close, that it was closer than it should have been, but it was not so close that basically if they could overturn one count in one state, they could get it back. So, yeah, that. But I don't think people are silly for being worried about it. I think
Trump has fucking lucked his way into weird situations. Like, things seem to go his way with this shit. And, like, he's riling up his base. It's that thing where I don't think Trump is actively planning a coup. I think he's a game show host businessman who became president, and he's not experienced, and he doesn't realize that by saying this stuff, he's committing a very serious act.
Well, I don't think he
doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He does not care. He doesn't know, and he doesn't care, though. Yeah. Like, he has stumbled ass backwards into fascism.
That's
what, like, his whole thing.
I have is that, and Biden is sort of on the fence, and I get it, is that people, I think people are also, like, I think people need to know that you can't do the things Trump has done for the last 4 years and then just get away with it. And they need to see him punished.
Yeah.
Right, but the problem is that
what if we just say we forgive everyone and hold hands?
The problem is like, if he leaves office, well, when he leaves office, if they are like, well, now you're under arrest, and if he goes to trial, that trial will last so long, and Trumpism will just keep stretching. And it'll be more misinformation. It'll be more tweeting out bullshit. It'll be more fucking hearing what Ben Shapiro has to say. And it'll be more protest. Can you imagine that trial? And that's why I think people are like, man, can't we just let him go?
Right. Do we want to green light another circus?
But it has.
That's like every day.
But it has to happen, right? Because the alternative. The alternative is like, no, crimes are fine.
Right.
If you're president,
we
you can do crimes.
Have to do it. It's going to hurt. It's like a root
exactly.
canal.
Exactly. Yes.
It's like, it has to happen. I'm sorry. I know it's going to suck. I know it means the next like 4 years will just be more this. But we have to do it.
But yeah, but otherwise, yeah, it's going to be, they're hugging.
I think there's also something easy and simple about just saying, let's just forgive them and do unity. And I think people mistake this idea of forgiveness for a similar idea, which is mercy. So like with forgiveness, you're kind of implying we're just going to move past it and forget it, forgive it. It's gone. It's behind us. Which is really bad in a situation where, first of all, the Trump administration is full of criminals who did crimes every day for 4 years, and they should have to pay for those crimes, because otherwise, what we're saying is, if you're president, they'll let you do it.
Right.
They'll let you do crimes. And right.
Which is true, but
we should maybe stop doing that, like, now, hopefully.
Yes. Maybe that's the thing that Trump can do. He got elected, did a bunch of crimes. We were actually like,
that's like too many crimes this time. We usually let you get away with like 4 or 5 crimes, but like when it's like 500 crimes, that's when we cut you off. Too many.
But, exactly.
You know, but also when it comes to actual Trump supporters, because you could say, like, well, obviously criminals can't do crime. But like with Trump supporters, this idea of like, oh, we just like forgive them all. I think that is such a simplistic view. First of all, Trump supporters aren't asking to be forgiven. So like if you go up to someone who doesn't think they've done anything wrong and you're like, I forgive you, they're going to hate you. They're going to think you're an annoying, mm-hmm. self-righteous person because you kind of yeah. are being that, because they don't think they need to be forgiven.
Mm. I forgive you. I forgive you, hon.
Yeah, that's not going to, yeah. they're going to hate you more. Like they, one of the reasons that a lot of these far right MAGA people hate liberals is that they think liberals think they're better than them. And yeah. sometimes they do. So it's yeah. like,
yep.
The smugness, so like yeah. saying, I forgive you, I'm just like Jesus, you know, is not gonna, they're not gonna like that. And it's also kind of pretty hurtful towards all of the people that have been most affected by the fascist right, minorities, you know, gender minorities, Jewish people, black people, you know, just like all of the groups of people who have been explicitly targeted by Trump's hate and Trump supporters' hate. And now we're just saying like, you know, oh, well, just forgive them. Even though they wanted you to die, like, just forgive them. Like,
yeah,
that's...
It's another way of saying yeah. there
right,
will
exactly.
be no justice. Like,
and
you're
so
just,
the,
yeah.
but the other concept I think that is a good concept is mercy, right? Where it's instead, you don't have to forgive or forget what they've done. But mercy is this idea that, like, you know, you kind of display some mercy towards opponents when that is actually going to stop them from being the bad people that they are. So, like, what I would describe as that is, like, improving their material conditions. Like, we don't, it's not like this thing, like, I hate the, I think, Cody, you pointed this out earlier. I hate the tweets where it's like, oh, here's a Trump supporter state, and they're, now they have COVID, ha ha. Yeah. Like, first
disgusting.
Of all,
first disgusting.
Of all, there's so many people that live in a state, like, you're just saying they all deserve to pay for this because of some Trump supporters. Also, again, like, that kind of retribution, like, you should get sick and die of COVID because you're a Trump supporter, you know, that's, I just don't see that's
right.
No, you
right.
should get health care and be taken care of, and then maybe you won't
right.
vote for
like,
Donald Trump next time.
Right, like you don't have to forgive Trump supporters for being fascists, right? But I think it is good to say, like, okay, look, the way we maybe stop them from being fascists is giving them yeah. improving their lives materially through like health care and through COVID relief aid and stuff, so that. You know, that we're basically yeah. showing them like, okay, no, you're not forgiven for supporting a fascist, but we are just going to keep improving the whole world, whether you like it or not. And the whole world includes yeah. you,
right.
There's
dumbass.
A big difference. There's a big difference between laughing
right.
at
you're not,
I don't
yeah.
know, Trump for getting COVID and laughing at a Trump supporter. Because
yes.
when the people...
That's
yeah.
still extremely
yeah.
funny.
The people who are actively like pushing for their...
Yes.
people not
because
yeah.
of the misinformation.
It's like, not only is that funny, but it's like, oh good, maybe someone will see that and change their mind. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that Trump got
right.
COVID.
Yes. Like the
yeah.
Yeah, we're glad he
the,
got
the
COVID,
architects
aren't we, folks?
Of the terrible pandemic in the US right now, because they are the ones that caused the pandemic to be this
yeah.
bad. And are continuing to spread misinformation that kills people daily. Oh, also fun thing, Corey Lewandowski has COVID, so that's
yeah.
cool. Yeah,
that's
it's so weird that they might get it after Four Seasons Total landscaping event with no masks.
Oh, God.
I just love that the fact that that may have been a super spreader event. I don't love the fact that it's a super spreader event because that's bad. But I do like that it's back in the news
yeah.
now because the Four Seasons Total Landscaping is... I'm not...
Yeah. Hyatt bait and tackle.
Right, it's like...
Amazing.
Yeah, it is... It's very good. People are like, oh, it's not that funny. Like, get over it. Like, no, it will always be the funniest thing that's ever
funny,
happened.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's the funniest. It's
well,
perfect. It's
right.
it's poetry. It's. I saw somebody say
no.
that Kofeffi
no.
was
no.
funnier. It's like, what?
Like,
that's a typo.
It just,
what?
It's
what?
I'm,
nonsense.
Yeah, I'm not for incarceration, but in that specific instance, incarcerate that person.
Yeah,
I agree with all of you completely. I did want to read that quote from Joe Biden, actually, because, Dave, you mentioned Joe Biden's approach.
Yeah, he's trying to wash his hands of it.
What to do with Trump after the fact. Yeah, and this is, I mean, this is kind of like what Pelosi said back in the day after W. Bush. Like, the idea of, like, we're not going to pursue that because we don't want it to turn into, like, well, then the next president is going to prosecute the next president. And, like, this sort of ping-pong back and forth where it's just, no, you're the one that goes to prison and all that kind of stuff. Joe Biden says that he believes prosecuting a former president would be a very unusual thing and probably not very good for democracy. He would not stand in the way of a future Justice Department pursuing criminal charges. I guess Amy Klobuchar's Justice Department against Trump after he leaves office. We'll see. I don't know.
Concerning the idea of ping-ponging, why not? If they have reasons to, like, you know how when you finish a level in a video game, the stats come up and it's like racking up your points and stuff like that. What if every time they left office, they're like, okay, so here's your crimes. We're going to go through them all and we're going to go to jail for the appropriate amount of time. Like, I don't know if the right went after Biden for crimes and he did those crimes. Yeah, I would be like, okay.
And he did those crimes. That's the thing. He did those crimes.
That's the thing, is it still has to be like, fair. It has to go through a justice system that is actually considering, okay, let's see if these are actually crimes. Like, why? Like, I know it slows everything down, but, like, right now, the condition of fucking how presidents have come and gone, it's like, I don't know, why not have an impeachment trial every fucking president? Yeah, why not audit
every
the president?
Time?
But guys,
every
if there were consequences, if there were consequences for crime as president, it may be harder to do crime as president, or at least you'd think twice about it, which seems like you're really hamstringing presidents and keeping them from doing crime.
All presidents should wear body cams.
Who would
want to
be president if you just can't do crime?
It's not as fun.
Not me. The idea of just like, it's dependent obviously on well, were there actual crimes? Do you have evidence of that? I have to read two more of these voter fraud things because it's all amazing. This is a David Farenthold tweet describing that the campaign promised shocking proof of fraud in Michigan. And they provided a list of complaints, and that list included loud noises, mean stares, and
a
big man.
I'm not that big.
What?
I've been working on
wait a second.
I'm big boned, you guys.
That's
like a funny, like a funny little example.
Oh, no, it's the stuff that was tweeted out, and I tweeted about it, which was like, there's that footage from Detroit of everybody applauding as apparently a GOP lawyer was escorted out. And I looked up that specific polling place, and they had been disrupted by a weird guy in a white mask who ran through like, it's all a fraud. They kicked out several people for not wearing masks. The GOP side kept putting up this huge fuss because they were getting kicked out because they're over the maximum like person limit, but they were kicking out Democrats as well. The GOP were the only ones putting up a fuss, and they had the election observers. They like on the GOP, they kept doing this stuff. And again, I don't know the political affiliation of the guy in the murder mask, but like after all that,
I mean, Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, so they're kicking this guy out who probably isn't wearing a mask or God knows what, and everybody is probably just like, yeah, get out. This has been awful. Like, we've been harassed nonstop.
Well, like, the GOP position is that they should have infinite numbers of election observers until every molecule of space inside of the facility is taken up by GOP election observers. Like, you have to keep...
They need Trump in there. They want Trump to be in there counting the votes.
Because, like, you're supposed to have, like, equal numbers of election observers in a place. It actually turns out there were more GOP observers in a lot of places because they kept shoving more in there. So it's like, you know, but it, so like, as long as you have some observers in there from both parties, that's what keeps it fair, because you have, like, if you, that doesn't mean you can suddenly cram 10,000 observers in like a 500 capacity room, like suffocating everyone in a big roiling ball of everyone screaming, it's a scam.
Like, I think people are like tweeting out videos.
It is a scam.
I think it's a weird thing because no one paid attention to this process before this election. So there's people putting out videos of like, why are these people laughing? Or, oh, why are they bringing in these boxes? And it's like, because they're people working and they can't leave. And they've been there for 12 hours and they're bringing in food and they're acting like humans.
Right.
And if you think this process seems unprofessional, then, okay, maybe we can change that. But it's the process that's happening.
It's like things like, it's things like they'll throw out a scrap of paper and they're like, they're throwing out ballots. And then you zoom in and it's literally just like a to-do list that the guy wrote. And then like things like, there was this video that Trump retweeted from this lady in Los Angeles. She's just videotaping poll workers who are collecting ballots from one of the official ballot collection bins. And she's like saying, why are you still collecting ballots? They called the state. Why are you still collecting ballots? And this was on November 4th, so the day after the election. I guess she thought that, like, all of the votes in these bins, like, immediately get teleported to counting centers, like, the night of the election, the night they're all due. Like,
that's
how
it works. Well, that's Trump. Like, that's Trump shit. That's what he said. He said if they're not the night of, then it doesn't count.
The minute, the second the polls close, every vote has to be teleported and counted immediately, or it's not valid. But yeah, it's these two poll workers just trying to do their jobs, and she's like, "Are you official poll workers?" And the guy just like holds out his badge, very irritated because she keeps like and saying like, "So there's a lot of votes in there, huh?" And they're like, "Yeah." She's like, "How many?" And they're like, "I don't know. What? Right. I don't know." And they're like, could you stand back like 6 feet? Like you're not wearing a mask. And she's like, oh, sorry. So you're just still counting votes? Like, then why did the state, why did they call the state? It's like, because it's California and they've already counted like millions of votes and it's statistically impossible for Trump to have won it at that point. Like, it's so mind boggling that they think like, because like there's always still votes being counted even after the media calls states. Because the media isn't waiting for every vote to be counted. They're waiting for the statistically relevant number of votes to be counted. And if you don't like that, maybe we shouldn't have the Electoral College, because then every vote's just going to be counted as a single vote and they will all have equal value. It's like I've seen so many GOP arguments against the Electoral College this week. It's like, oh, you don't like the Electoral College now? Hey, I have an idea. Let's get rid of it. That'd be great,
again,
right?
It's the equivalent of, oh, well, we'll like, just go after Biden for his crimes. It's like, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
You know, like, sexual assault?
Right, everything is like, yes, exactly.
No,
It's...
Right, it's like, oh, do you want to go to prison?
Oh, you want to stop bombing people overseas? Yeah. Yep. Oh, well, but they did ICE, too.
Yes.
Well, we didn't like that. They should stop it. It is kind of funny when, like, someone's arguing against someone who's, like, a leftist versus, like, a rank-and-file, like, you know, DNC liberal Democrat, because it's like, they're like, oh, so, like, oh, but you thought, like, Russiagate was the most important thing all year. And it's like, no, I didn't, actually.
It really makes it difficult for them. They struggle. Because they think they're talking to,
Someone was like saying like, oh, you hate it like when your team does this. And I was like, I don't, what do you mean my team? Like, I don't.
And if you're talking about who I think you're talking about, then I do hate it then. Like,
no, it's just like, I'm still boggled by Trump and his family. Like, clearly people who don't understand how elections work being like, why is it taking so long? And why is it this? Yeah. And the answer is always, because just that's what it's been like for. Yeah, that's
what it's been
just,
like. Yeah, exactly. For like forever.
Right,
you're
exactly.
just paying attention
and
now
also,
because you're upset. Because you lost.
Again, not politicians. I mean, technically a politician, but it's like, it's not surprising to me that Trump doesn't understand how democracy works. Why would he? It's Trump.
Right. Yeah. But he also does. Like, they all do. There's this, I mean, for the most part, like, they don't care.
They don't care.
There's a, in Pennsylvania, the other day, they're in court and,
yeah,
you know, they're alleging fraud, right? They're alleging it's voter fraud. And here's this short snippet from a transcript that I think encapsulates the entire thing. Probably. And why it's going to be fine, probably. Probably. Judge, I understand. I am asking you a specific question, and I am looking for a specific answer. Are you claiming that there is any fraud in connection with these 592 disputed ballots? The lawyer. To my knowledge at present, no. The judge. Are you claiming that there is any undue or improper influence upon the elector with respect to these 592 ballots? The lawyer. To my knowledge at present, no. That's it. Like,
it's these
that
Trump,
they know.
It's these
they,
Trump
they know
lawyers
what they're doing.
Realizing they can be disbarred for lying in court. And they're just like, hired to do this job that's impossible for them to do. And it's like, well, here I go. And it's like, and the judge is like, so you guys don't have a case? Nope, we do not, sir. It's just literally the Jim Carrey clip from Liar Liar, where it's like, you know, he goes, objection, Your Honor. And he's like, On what grounds?
Because it's devastating.
Because it would be devastating for my case.
Yeah.
Right.
Overruled.
Right.
Good call.
I assume all these lawyers are like, look, they're paying us, so we're here. I think the worry is that Trump has been able to accomplish things and rile up his base based off lies. And I think like the talk of the coup stuff is that they're going to find like maybe one case that's actually going to be this guy threw out a couple ballots, or like someone is actually vindictive, and it wouldn't have actually made a difference. And Trump's going to push that and push that and push that. And like the whole thing with the legislators being able to swap the electors out, and like, that's what people are scared of. It would be extremely hard to actually accomplish. But I think that's what people are waiting for, is like Trump to lie good enough for the GOP to be too scared to not go along with it.
I mean, it's one of these things that there was like a whole analysis that was published in, I think it was Al Jazeera or something, but it based on like a sort of study someone did or analysis someone did of like what would happen in a contested election. And there are things that like it would be unprecedented. Yeah. And I don't really know what the actual legal pathway would be, but there are weird things like Vice President Pence as Senate president, like if the two chambers of the Senate couldn't agree on a president, like he would be sort of the Senate president, and then he has some ability to like throw out a state's disputed electoral votes. It sounds like, oh, well, he could just do that, but it's like one of those things where it's like there would have to be a lot leading up to that to enable that to happen.
They would have to kill America. Other one is, was that if Trump is able to get the GOP to say like, this was fraudulent, this state was fraudulent, and this state was fraudulent, even based on no evidence, the electors, the legislators of that state could technically tell their electors to vote for Trump against the popular vote. But the Supreme Court had previously ruled that they can be, not will be, forced to vote according to the popular vote. But states, the actual thing is states can require them to do that, but that doesn't mean they necessarily have to. And so it would probably go to the Supreme Court. And so what I'm saying is that the GOP would basically have to be like, we're going to do this. And the court,
it would have to be the whole GOP working together.
And the Supreme
together.
Court would have to rule in their favor, and it would be a conspiracy. It would be a coup by an entire party. So that's why I mean, like, they would destroy America, because it would mean something way darker than Trump. It would mean that they're all so into Trump that they're willing to completely ignore the popular vote and put this country into chaos.
But
again, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
That's not out of the realm of possibility. It's not that
they... Yeah.
Especially with the current Supreme Court.
Right, but like I think they understand that that would also cause such a massive amount of civil unrest that would be bad for them, potentially.
Potentially.
So it would have to...
Or it'll be good for them because then they can crack down on it.
Yeah, but it reaches a certain... But then again, like, you would have to have... You know, in that case, like, you'd have to have compliance from... Basically, it would have to be the military, the National Guard, and the entire GOP all working together. And I just don't think... Honestly, I don't think... Because it's like they're not... Even when you just talk about the military or the National Guard, like, it's not like... There's not enough cohesion, I think, for that to really be that realistic. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. It would be a remarkable amount of organization that I just not sure exists. Like, when you look at things, like, of course, I'm going to do the whole, like, oh, you can't talk about Nazi Germany because you can't do that ever because we can't learn lessons from history.
No lessons.
You know,
Katie, no lessons
don't
from
learn
history.
Lessons from
it's
history.
Not allowed.
Just that, like, when you see the lead up to the rise of Nazi power in Germany, there was so much organization on the ground. Like, all their on the ground, they had like the basically their street fascist gangs that were all very organized and waiting to hear. And like, when you look at the whole sort of Proud Boys, Trump's street gang fascists, like, they're not quite as organized in that case, like, it's not, I don't want to say like, oh, we should not be worried about it. Absolutely. We should be worried about it. Being worried about it is what prevents stuff like this from getting to a point that you can't stop it. But I would, I think like we're definitely not doomed. And I think that it's definitely the organization is not as good. I mean, you just look at like, Trump's white, like, they were so, we were saved by the fact that Trump was so incompetent and his whole team of goons were so incompetent that while they managed to do a lot of fucked up shit and hurt a lot of people, if they had been more organized, they could have hurt a lot more people.
It's like
people.
When I make chili, all the ingredients are there, all the ingredients are there, but it doesn't come out good. It's not because I'm not
Dave,
good at it.
We gotta talk.
And so,
Dave,
it's like all the ingredients for like they got all the Hitler ingredients, but what they got is like not like a Trump instead. And so like we got the street thugs, we got the Proud Boys and stuff, but they're all kind of like they're not dangerous. They're definitely dangerous.
Dave, it's the cumin.
I put cumin in it, Katie.
Chili powder? Is it enough chili? Yeah. Look, okay, I know
little
how to
bit
make
of
chili.
Cocoa, little
That's
bit
not
of cocoa
a metaphor.
Powder in there.
That's not a metaphor for being fascist, by the way, but I do know how to make chili, so let's talk after. Cocoa powder,
you
what?
Know how to
no.
be fascist.
The internet
that is
says
correct.
You can put a little
Don't
cocoa powder.
Don't listen to the
in there.
Internet.
People
lime
listening,
is good,
back
though.
Me up. Did you say lime? I put lemon juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lemon juice is good, too. Welcome to chili talk. Cody
about, like,
looks despondent.
And then, like, about, like, I don't know, 3 cups of sugar.
No. Just, oh my God. We have to. Okay. We'll take off the.
All right.
This concludes chili talk. Unbelievable. 2-3 cups of sugar. I wanted to end on some good news because my goodness, why not? But first, here's a short list of all the national security officials who have resigned or been fired this week. The Secretary of Defense, the Undersecretary for Intelligence, the Secretary of Defense's Chief of Staff, the NSA's General Counsel, the DHS Assistant Director for Cybersecurity, the DOE National Nuclear Security Administration Chief, the DOJ the DOJ Elections Crimes Branch Chief. It seems like maybe Trump wants to do some stuff that people are like, and it's unclear what that is yet.
Cool.
But the good news, we don't need to talk about that right now. The good news, Pfizer, a pharmaceutical company that we love. We love them. We love pharmaceutical companies. We love Big Pharma. Pfizer has news that they possibly have a possible vaccine. They said its Canada vaccine was more than 90% effective in preventing infection in volunteers. It uses a never-before-approved technology called messenger RNA, or mRNA, to produce an immune response in people who are vaccinated. So that's... all right. Yeah?
The CNN article about the people who made it called them a power couple. And I was like, I don't need to stand these. Yeah, like...
No, we're not doing that. No.
It needs to be kept at really low temperatures is the problem, right?
The vaccine stuff. So if they're heating it up with their power couple lovemaking, then it's going to ruin the batches. Yeah, I mean, like, once you've developed a vaccine that seems to be efficacious, you can't just, like, next week have it available to people. And there's a few reasons. Like, you have to do a bunch of safety testing because it's not just safety in the average person. It's safety for people who have comorbidities, like different, or sorry, not comorbidities, but like different, like, conditions, right. Like heart conditions, lung conditions. You have to test it and make sure that it's not going to hurt someone who... Some of the like most vulnerable people who need it the most, like older people, people with heart and lung conditions, and make sure that it's not going to hurt them.
You also have to and figure out how the microchip goes in.
That's right. I have to make sure how the
sneak in the microchip goes in.
Mm-hmm. You got to make sure the transmitter gets in.
It's too big, though.
Exactly.
I mean, Microsoft has not figured out how to make those chips small enough, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's like that PlayStation 4, too big, you know?
But yeah, and also they have to produce enough to vaccinate everyone. So it's like, you know, making it, it's not like you figure out how to make it and then you can just have infinite batches, you know, with a simple recipe. It actually takes supplies, time, and staff to make a bunch of vaccines, and then you have to distribute them. So that's why you can come up with a seemingly efficacious, hopefully. Like, the fact that if it is really 90% effective, that is very good news. I'm really happy about that if that ends up being true. But, like, it's still potentially going to take, like, almost a year for us to be able to
get it. They're saying maybe April will start. Logistics and the money, right? And, unfortunately, there's a certain administration that's making it very difficult for the new administration to transition over, and that might slow it down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird. Unexpected.
But maybe they'll leave, and then we can give COVID a mighty good drubbing.
This is good news.
Drub
We're
the Rona.
Drub that COVID away.
Hashtag drub the Rona.
Katie and Dave, do you want to plug your shit?
Yeah, you can visit my podcast called Drub the Rona. No, it's called Creature Feature. I talk about animals and how cool they are and evolutionary biology and sometimes, you know, how we're not so different from the fish and the birds and the insects and the crabs.
Especially the crabs.
Especially
what,
the crabs.
What else, though?
And
what
the else? Slime right. molds.
What's the animal we're the most different from? Okay.
Zebras.
Yeah.
Very different from them.
Interesting.
Can't relate to them.
Dave, what about you?
Well, I want to plug Katie's show because it's really good. But also, I have...
Making me look bad. I see.
Taking that high road. I have a Patreon with Tom Ryman that's about movies, like Friday the 13th. Patreon.com/gamefully, unemployed. We're on story mode on the podcasts. We talk about movies, mostly. Mainly.
I love movies.
I would say only. Probably only.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. It's a good, hey, good,
it's a
good,
good
podcast on there.
I did that.
Oh, could I plug my Twitter
probably,
also?
Yeah.
It's Katie Golden, KATIEGOLDIN. And I mostly just bully Cody on it.
Mm, we love it. I need that. It's fine. It's good. I love it. It's great. thank you both so much for coming on today. Always a pleasure. And Katie Stoll also thanks you both as well.
Thank
and,
you, Katie.
To both of you, you and our listeners, she and I would like to let you know that we love you very much.
Yeah.